But as we go into Galatians here this evening and open up your Bibles to the second chapter, God willing, tonight, He's taking us deeper and encouraging us more and more in His precious Word. And as the Lord's brought me through this study, it's just getting more and more serious. It's becoming more and more pressing how absolutely preeminent is the grace of God. And we're so thankful that He's called us to rejoice in that, to rejoice in the freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, that whom He has made free is free indeed, that the seed that remaineth is just what it is, that we cannot be separated from the love of God, that it is impossible for Him to deny Himself. And I'm so thankful to God that He loves us like that. I'm thankful to the Lord that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened to see the simplicity that is in the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've enlightened that in our hearts. But by His Spirit, brothers and sisters, we are going on tonight. And that's right. It is by His Spirit. It's grace. And the Word of God tells us to know no man after the flesh. And even before we get into this, I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians 5:16, where it mentions that sweet verse of we know no man after the flesh. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Praise be to God, brothers and sisters, that we rejoice in this life that He has given us. And in that, brothers and sisters, Christ in you and Christ in me is the hope of glory. But if it's going to be flesh that we're going to lean upon, as we're going to read tonight, the lust of the flesh is going to consume us. It's exactly what will happen. You know, most when they hear that, as I was studying, immediately when you hear lust of the flesh, drinking, drugs, sex, whatever it may be. But tonight we're going to see that God is addressing the most vital, the most damaging. Matter of fact, as we know, the accursed doctrine that this lust of the flesh defeats the most from God's very best. And I'm talking about ones that know Jesus Christ. I'm even speaking of those that maybe preach and teach the bridal calling in Christ. Lusting after the flesh, brothers and sisters, thinking somehow something of my work is going to be pleasing to God. You know, the Lord so sweetly showed us this way back in the Cain and Abel. There He said, bring me the lamb. And Cain was bound determined to bring something of his own work, of his own self. He was very proud. He worked very hard. He was very high upon himself as he came to God to give Him the fruits of his labor. And God so quickly told him, that's absolute filthy rags to me. I must see only the lamb. And I'm so grateful to God that's all that God will look at. I'm so thankful to God that even from the very beginning that He set in motion that it's the blood of the Lamb of God. And let's make it known as we go forth here, brothers and sisters, that this attitude of somehow pleasing God by my works is the biggest repulsive thing to God. It's refuge to God. It's filthy rags to God, because we are denying His Son the absolute and only glory as why we are acceptable to God. And that is the truth. As I got into this, it's calling out so sweetly to my heart. This is, you talk about a fork in a road. Brothers and sisters, we'll get off on things that are not remotely near running the race to win Him. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and the joy of the Lord is His grace to us. The joy of the Lord is how He loves us unconditionally. The joy of the Lord is that we are His workmanship. The joy of the Lord is that He loves us so that He is completely invested in us, that we are his only and sole inheritance. And I'm thankful to God in that, brothers and sisters, that we know that the life of Christ in us is what is pleasing to God. So without delay, let's begin reading again from the second chapter, the first verse. It says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who is with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in to come in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." Boy, that was a plan, wasn't it? "To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." See, Paul, again, as we rejoiced last week, he was not trying to be polite in any way, shape, or form. This was the word of God. And he said, "We're not going into any false doctrine. I'm not going to give any attention to it. We're not going to give it any note, not even for a moment. We're not going to entertain that thought at all. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do." Now here we go kind of into our thought tonight. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." See, he knew better. "For before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew, liveth after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing," listen to this, "that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." How much clearer could it be? Aren't you grateful to God that grace has given you the faith to lay hold of this? And here we have poor Peter once again. Poor Peter. God loved him. Hallelujah. And God loves him. Failing, and this time even far worse than when he denied Christ those three times. See, when he denied Christ the three times, that was just stupidity. It really was. Maybe a little fear, but pretty stupid. But this was robbing his blessed Savior of his glory. This was the greatest insult, that his death on the cross did not finish it. That even though Christ Jesus shed his blood, I'm not yet justified and am yet a sinner. And as the Word of God tells us here, equating the ministering of Jesus Christ as sin and not righteousness. Brothers and sisters, either the blood has made atonement or not. Amen? Either the shedding of that precious blood made me clean, or it didn't. And praise be to God, we know by the word of his truth that I am clean because of the precious blood of Christ. Now, I want you to know this. Peter didn't intend to do that. He didn't set out to do that. But that's exactly the result any time we lean to the flesh for our justification or acceptance to God. Whether we did it intentionally, whether we did it out of ignorance, whether we did it out of fear, it does not matter because the result is the same. Amen? Amen. And that result is wicked unbelief. And God help us to recognize and to recognize this soon, because there's a slumber coming over those that are going to miss the coming of the Lord. We begin in the Spirit and we grow in the Spirit. As the Word of God, and I know that many of you have read Galatians so many times, I'm so thankful, and have taken it to your heart and allowed the Lord to expand its truth in your life. It says, these foolish Galatians, just as Peter, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And isn't it amazing how quick even us, as the enemy will try to get in there from time to time, we condemn ourselves, or we think that we need to do something or feel good about something we did. I'm thankful to the Lord is coming here to preach the word tonight, that this is just to the glory of God, and I'm thankful that it's the work of the Lord. This is nothing of me. And praise be to God, I know that anything good is from above. It's from him. Everything and anything that I ever hope to be, as we said on Sunday, is because of the grace of God. I'm thankful that he brings these good works to pass in our lives, because everything, everything is supplied through that precious vine. But here it is. Peter's thinking somehow, by keeping something or now being accountable for our walk or our salvation. And God help us, brothers and sisters. God help us that this attitude with ourselves or with others, and I really underscore others, is the greatest defeat to the life of a Christian that there could ever be. See, the result when we go the way of flesh and self-works is that the branch eventually withers away. When the supplying doesn't come from the vine, the branch doesn't have any bullets left. It's over. It withers away. I appreciated speaking with that brother I mentioned, and I just was giving as should be, and it's a fact. All glory to God for any of the increase in the love in this meeting, brothers and sisters, because this is his work. This is his ministry. I'm thankful to the Lord that we take upon what he has supplied, the ministering of the saints. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm thankful to God that we're lights to this world. I'm thankful to the Lord that we're not shut up to ourselves. We're shut up to God. But in shut up to God, there's a love that flows. We're Galilees, brothers and sisters. The water runs in and the water runs out. And I'm thankful to the Lord in that the fruit abounds. It teems with life. But see, when we look away from the word, even for a moment, we will yield to the flesh. Yes, we will. And flesh is not only appealing to an alcoholic or a drug addict, but even more so, as I see in this scripture, in this passage, it's even more so appealing to the self-righteous Pharisee in heart that walks around thumping his chest or casting judgment right and left, especially upon the children of the King. Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What don't we want to understand about that? He that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. I am so thankful to God that his word is true. But see, man, in our feeling and in man wanting to have some type of recognition, we want to take things on ourselves, don't we? But yet Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, gave all glory always to the Father. Isn't that awesome? The I Am, not taking anything to himself, but all glory to the Father. Praise his name. and the likes of us trying to think. And I always will remember Brother Hill standing up here, if I could just clip that little fingernail to be accepted, one little thing, it would be a ministering of sin, because the work would still be contingent upon me as opposed to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that wonderful truth never grows old. It's something that, again, by grace, when you gave your heart to God, there was an understanding of that blood that was shed was for your sin. But it grows mightier, it grows more real, it grows deeper, more vast about the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Now you see, brothers and sisters, as we look into this, we know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that we that are spiritual too, we restore such a one, and we restore in grace. And that cold cup of water is always the grace of God that we bring. That's the hope, brothers and sisters. We have no hope without grace. Amen? Amen. We'll condemn ourselves. We'll condemn one another. We'll puff up ourselves or puff up somebody else. I saw a lot of that over this last trip. Everybody wanting to puff up men. A different man, because of a position, because of a place. You're highly esteemed by God's grace because of the life of Jesus Christ in you. That's, I'll tell you what, you couldn't even get close to that. Praise be to God, the life of the Son of God lives and dwells in you. You're dead, and now He reigns and He lives. Praise be to God. How much greater could it be? It couldn't. But the remainder of the night, I do and am encouraged that I'd like to examine these evidences of this falling from the grace of God, or withdrawing from the grace of God. And if you will, the warning signs. And God uses this zealous Peter as the poster child once again for the horrible failure that results every time we put our confidence in flesh. Are we listening here tonight? Every single time we put confidence in our flesh, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a departure from the grace of God. And my goodness, brothers and sisters, we are at a time, in such a critical time, to be receiving grace, abounding in grace, swimming in grace, by his grace, drinking it up, taking the cup of salvation, and drinking fully, so that we are filled with all the fullness of God and ready to take flight out of here. But first off, if you look at verse 12 there, it says, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew from the Gentiles." Now this is a wonderful time to point this out again. Gentiles, in this case, and all throughout Paul's epistles, are Gentile Christians. The ones that know Christ Jesus as Savior, that are not Jews. And the reason that this is so vital and important, brothers and sisters, is because when you get yourself over to Ephesians 3:6, where it says that the Gentile now should be fellow heirs or joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ, we need to understand that these were Gentile Christians, and there is much the more that's being offered to them. Gentiles could always be God's people by faith. You think about it. Ruth was not excluded. Asenath was not excluded. Rahab was not excluded. But praise be to God, this was a better thing that now was being offered to the Gentile Christian. And I'm thankful to the Lord, the simplicity that we're seeing here, that God is inviting us into. But the first sign of legality here that we're reading about is withdrawing. Withdrawing from those who know they are saved, who know they grow in grace. And I know some, and I love them. And I'm so sad, because that's exactly what flesh does. And that's exactly what self-righteousness does. It divides. It separates. It gets you away from the coals, brothers and sisters. It gets you growing cold. It gets you growing condemning. It gets you growing judgmental. It gets you growing more bitter all of the time. And I'm sad to say, but each and every one of us know that very well, whether it's happened to ourselves from time to time, amen, or those especially whom we love. Now, I see the work of the Lord going on. And in that conversation I had with that brother that called me, he has a real burden on his heart for many of the ministers that had gone through that Grace and Glory Bible college. Because you know of it, because you've read it, because you've preached at least the thought of it, does that mean that we live it? No. Brothers and sisters, it's the love of God. And the love of God, and that is His grace, is what gives us the power by His grace, as we're going to read, to walk uprightly. It's His grace. It's a free gift. It's His will. Praise God. This is what He wants to do in us. But I know some of them and I love them, but they don't want any fellowship with me. And I guess as I was thinking about this, maybe I'm a little bit too crude in their natural minds, truly believing the word of God that he that is born of God does not commit sin. Or how about maybe we're just too dependent upon him and his ability? That the vine supplies all the growing, that the lily doesn't toil or labor to grow. It just grows because of the seed. What do you think? I love that stuff. I'm thankful to God that I know, as we mentioned earlier, that I am His workmanship. That thanks be to God when He says that He is the potter and I'm the clay. What's hard to understand about that? What does the clay do? Have you ever watched that process? Does the clay get up and tell the potter what to do? Does the clay get up and help it mold itself? Not in any way, shape, or form. I'm looking at the masterpieces of the living God. That's why it's exciting to come. Praise God. That we come together and we rejoice in the work of the Lord in one another. He's fulfilled the law for us. Praise God. I love that 19th verse. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. Dead to it. Praise His name. That I might live unto God. And you know what the contingency of might living to God is? Letting Him do it. Amen? I just got to sit there. The clay's got to show up. Get into the potter's house. Amen? And every one of us has been called to that. We are that clay. And praise God, we're here to listen to His word. And to allow Him to spin us, to mold us after His will. Isn't that amazing? The simplicity. And we sit here tonight and everybody's shaking their head. This is great. And somehow in, you know, 40 minutes we get in the car and we get confused again. I'm just teasing. But praise God. Even in that, I know who keeps us. Even in that, if I be otherwise minded, He'll reveal that unto me. Brothers and sisters, this is a good fight of faith, isn't it? It's a fight. Because I've got flesh here that's so apt to and wanting to go by feeling. To want to be recognized and acknowledged. That's every single one of us here tonight. I know that. But it's a fight. Christ, You be magnified in me. We read and been rejoicing that it pleased the Father to reveal His Son in us. Not to reveal me to the world, His Son in us. To God be the glory? Really? I believe that God, in His infinite mercy, has been very patient with us. That I believe we're receiving some of this even here tonight. Now, brothers and sisters, when we withdraw ourselves, the next thing that happens is a separation. And quickly we see that as glory begats glory as we go on with God, sin begats sin. When we take steps away from grace, it's amazing how the enemy will continue to meet us to take us further and further away from it. Now, the beautiful thing about Christ is in Jesus' name, it's immediate. But brothers and sisters, we can get ourselves awfully bound. We can get ourselves in a very dark place anytime we depart from the grace of God. And I thought about this word separating. And a lot of times you hear this about spouses and things of that. And I want you to understand this. It is not the intention of marriage in the sight of God to be separated. In the Lord, it's to be joined, to dwell together. Isn't that right? I'm so thankful that that means to settle down in marriage, to sit together. Praise God, this fellowship. See, a house divided against itself, it will fall. And here's why. And here's why he did that. It's because Peter, he feared the law keepers. He feared the circumcision. See, this was more departure from all of the perfect and the complete will of God. See, I know personally, and I believe you do too, that there are people that love this meeting, that there are people that love you very, very much, that don't come to fellowship here because they're afraid or fear the law keepers. That's a truth. I get calls from them almost every single day that ask me to pray for them, that they want the boldness by God's grace to break free. Brothers and sisters, if he be for you, who could be against you? But see, even though there's such great love, and even though there's a passion in a sense to be, why not make the move? If you're not willing to leave the family, let alone the law keepers, I don't think you're worthy to follow him. As he wants you to follow him, take up your cross. And a lot of people are going to come against you to do that. You know that. Many of you have come out of families where they did everything that they could to keep you from going on with God. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When that sweet Rebecca got up and said, I will go, she was leaving everything familiar. She was leaving everything comfortable. She knew that this was pressing. She knew that she needed to move now. That the marriage was going to happen. That bridegroom was looking for that bride. And the Holy Ghost had come and said, will you go? And praise be to God, she says, I will go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us the encouragement to do this. But brothers and sisters, perfect love casts out all fear. And I pray that they break from these false chains. Because they are, they're just false chains. There's nothing that binds you. He that he's made free is free indeed. Amen? Amen. And I'll tell you, we're all missing some sweet fellowship. The Word of God says, till we all come. Well, I thank the Lord and I covet that fellowship. And I pray that we wouldn't have an attitude, oh yeah, they need us. No, you know what? We need the body of Christ. And I'm thankful to the Lord that those joints, and I'm so appreciative of it, were joints. Isn't that wonderful? And what do? They just allow that hinge. God does all the supplying, but it's just right there, the cartilage and the different things of that nature. Praise God. And as a brother was encouraging my heart the other day, you know, sometimes when we have problems with our knees and our elbows and things of that nature, it's because all of that cartilage and all of that soft tissue has just been grinded away. And then it just becomes bone upon bone because the supplying has been gone. So brothers and sisters, like I say, let's be a salve. Let's allow the love of God to really encourage our lives to come boldly to that throne of grace and say, Lord, we do need to pray fervently one for another. God help us not to, as he said, I will no wise cast you out. Why do we cast people out then? Why have we just casted different ones off? God, help us not to be that way, brothers and sisters. But that's exactly what legality does. It separates, it withdraws, it fears, and God forbid we would ever hinder ourselves to gather the much the more as we see that day approaching. Amen? Amen. when we're in love with Christ as bridegroom, and he's hit me with this over the past few years, you love the body as you love the head. You do. You're passionate for it. I meet people, and I'm telling you, that do know about this bridal message, but they don't want to have anything to do with fellowship. They don't want to have anything to do. Well, I don't want to go over there. I know so-and-so and such and this and this and that. And they're going to hurt me or say this or do that. I don't read anything in this word except gather, except join, except let there be no divisions. I don't read in here, you go to church just because everybody speaks well of you or because you just had a good time. You come, as the brother prayed earlier on, to hear the word of God, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And brothers and sisters, that we give the more earnest heed to these things that we have heard. And brothers and sisters, we need to encourage one another in this more and more. We're in a time of great drought. We're in a time that man is not enduring sound doctrine. We're in a time, and when I say man, I'm talking about Christian churches for the most part. They've departed from all of these different things. I just got a card from some saints I know very well, and I love them, and I know that they're sweet Christians. But their card was at their church, we have something for everybody. Well, in a way, yeah, but on that whole card about that church, I never saw the name Jesus. It becomes good God, good devil, good everybody. And we know that Jesus and his word does not change. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant. Praise God. And we give this out. And I pray that no matter how we feel, maybe we're a little battered, maybe we're a little weary, maybe we're a little tired, but we don't think it's strange. Because we know the word of God by his grace, that these things will come to pass. That we know that man will have itching ears for everything else but the gospel of Christ. I've had two different people call me in the last week. Well, you have a good-sized church, but you know you got to get over that hump to get to the next one. Oh my goodness. I pray we preach Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God help us never to change from that. But brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful thing that we know and that we heed to the calling of the Lord to come together. I think how many times, and I'm sure you've had it too, where people ask you, well, where are you going tonight? It's Wednesday. Well, I'm going to church. Well, didn't you go Sunday? Oh, you're going Wednesday, so you don't have to go Sunday. No, I go Sunday too. What? You go Wednesday, Sunday? Well, and then Friday, how about we get, well, I go to, and then it's, or, you know, something, or get away from me, or whatever it is. But I'm thankful this isn't social hour. I'm grateful to God that we can gather, and I'm thankful to be with you. But our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. We don't have donut hour. We don't have coffee time. We don't have time for that. We need to redeem the time and study the word of God. And it is a precious thing. And it is a straight way. And it's not a popular way. Let me tell you something. They were dancing and doing handsprings when Christ first came on the scene and did all of his miracles. But when he ceased from that and all that was left was the word, it got to be slim pickings. Matter of fact, it was slim and none, and Slim was out of town, and that was about it. Come on now. Now, he's been merciful to us, hasn't he? He's given a sweet flock here. And I'm thankful that there's a lot of sincerity. But again, that's all because of the grace of God. All because of the grace of God. All right. Now, we go on, and maybe the most destructive thing is our effect on others when we draw back in unbelief. And matter of fact, that dissimulation, it just is hypocrisy. See, saying we believe this, but yet this is what we're doing. See, that was a hypocritical thing. Peter had just professed, oh, I'm saved by grace, but I better, you know, kind of hang out with my Jew, Pharisee friends here. because, you know, we don't want to rock the boat and, you know, come on. Politically correct, trying to get along with everybody. Again, good God, good devil, good everybody. Or is it really by the grace of God we're going to stand and withstand and having done all to stand? Yes. And a lot of times you'll never stand alone. Christ will always be with you, praise God, because he's the one that's actually doing the standing for you. But again, you may just be there with Christ. Hallelujah. But again, this is probably the most destructive thing. And it was so destructive that even Barnabas was carried away. And that word carried away means to submit to lowly things. In Galatians 4:9, it says, weak and beggarly elements, the lowly things, instead of pursuing the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I've witnessed to many people over my life about this. I'm thankful to the Lord about the grace of God and that it's the work of grace that takes you on, and it's the work of grace that will seat you together in the heavens. Praise the Lord. It's the work of grace that, again, someday by his grace will sit you even into the midst of the throne with him, ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. But yet, I've heard more often than not, well, that's great that you believe that, but I still believe I've got to hold out faithful to the end. I know of a sweet brother in the Lord that ran well for a long time, but somebody got a hold of him and said, yes, you are saved by grace, but in order to win God's very best to be his bride, you have to keep the law. Somehow, some way, believe it or not, but for the grace of God, there go I. Know that. And that's why we stand in defense of it always. And we realize that in all humility and humbleness to God, that it has to be his keeping. But we have to understand and reckon and know that this flesh wants feeling. And that it's by faith and it's by his Spirit. And that's the grace of God that keeps us in the way of the upright. Now, brothers and sisters, may by grace we stand. And our testimony does mean something. As a matter of fact, it's got great value that this world could never know. And we've been given so much that there is great responsibility with it. Now, sure, it's not up to me if you go on with Christ or not. You cannot blame me. I know lots of people love to blame pastors and different things. Well, he did this, and that's why I went this way and all that. That's, I'll just say bunk. Brothers and sisters, but what a blessing to the Lord and to me and to the body of Christ if I can encourage you with my life into the grace of God. Amen? Do you see what a blessing it is? You talk about jewels in the crown. I always think when I see Sister Austin, I see Brother Austin too. And I always remember every time I'd see him, well, there's another jewel in my crown. And I'm thankful to God, it's true, because of the grace that flowed through that vessel in teaching me the things of God. How wonderful, how marvelous, brothers and sisters. But see what results in this withdrawing and separating and all of this destructive hypocrisy is that the walk is not uprightly. The feet are not straight. They're impaired. The runner is hindered. And this word uprightly means straight way. It's the straight way. I love it. You know, you talk to most Christians, well, it's straight and narrow. That's a completely different thought than grace. But in all reality and in all truth, the upright, the straight way is the grace of God. Let's turn with me to Psalm 84:11. Here was a sweet brother who sang about the upright. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So brothers and sisters, I can, by God's grace, connect the love of God. The Spirit does it. And he'll give me everything in grace. He'll withhold nothing from me in grace. I can come to him boldly, asking, believing, and I know by his grace he will perform the perfect and all and complete will of God in my life. Amen? See, that's how we can rest. It's a rest to the people of God. It's the very rest, as the Word of God says there in Hebrews. It says that when we cease from our own works, we enter into the rest of the Father. That's the rest that I want, to know that it's in the hand of the Son, to have complete confidence that I am his workmanship, that he will take me on, that he will bring these things in my life to pass, that he will make me according to what's pleasing and will in my life to what's pleasing to him. And then, brothers and sisters, it goes on to say that he had the Gentiles to live like Jews. And I think, what a shame. So unappreciative of the better thing that God has intended for us. When we in unbelief reject and disregard the plan and provision that God laid out through the sacrifice of his Son. I was just so enamored thinking again. Jesus Christ so loved that he came, he lived, and he died. But he so loved that it didn't end there. He ascended and he entered and he seated at the right hand of the Father. You talk about a love for patience, for the perfect work and the will of the Father, to perform a work in us, brothers and sisters, that we would arise and take hold of grace to be that people for his name's sake, to be that readied bride. All of that offering, the better thing for us. And yet, brothers and sisters, when we go the way of works and self-righteousness, we've spit on that. We've absolutely disrespected the Lord in his work. It's a horrible thing. This is very serious when we think in any way, shape, or form that we can gain favor of God with anything but his Son. Do you see the fight and to stand in defense of the gospel of Christ? How important that by his grace our guard cannot be let down? That it comes in so quickly. And that enemy, he's there to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's everything with the works of flesh. And it is. And I pray that we've been taking note here and truly seeing these are the evidences of it. We see or start to sense these things happening in our lives, that we're withdrawing, separating, hypocrites, trying to appease man. God help us, the red flags are waving. Do you want to win his best? I believe you do. But brothers and sisters, this is a fight. And it is. And we stand and withstand, and having done all, stand for the precious grace of God. The freedom, praise the Lord, that he has given us. The work of the Lord, that we know that we're grafted into that vine. That all of the supplying, the nutrients, the power, the love of God, everything we are, hope to be, praise his name, by him, for him. We hold together, we consist because of him. He makes it all happen. I'm thankful to God that he brought us here tonight. He draws us by his love. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We'll close it up here. Peter was building again that which was destroyed. Brothers and sisters, on the cross, the work was finished. Aren't you thankful that he said, it is finished? Praise the Lord, we are. I'm grateful to God that all the ceremony and all the tradition is done away. I have a hard enough time remembering dates anyways. I'm thankful to the Lord, I can't remember, was this supposed to go there or there or whatever? Nope, I look to the cross, behold the Lamb of God. Isn't it marvelous? I'm so thankful that I don't have to enter in this way or somebody enter in for me or to make a petition for me. Huh? Or I got to take the bead this way and rub it like that. And I got to get in here on this day and say this and to say that. Has he made atonement for you with his blood? Whether or not you believe it and really receive it, he has. Praise his name. The high priest entered into heaven at the right hand of God once and for all. And there is no more remembrance of sin. I think it's interesting how people oftentimes that go this way, they sure want to remember your sin, don't they? God help them. Really, God help them. I pray that we would really pray for them. Pray the Lord make us even more lovely. Peter made himself something he could not be in Christ. Did you read that there? A transgressor. Do you know what an insult that is to God? Do you know that you're a son of God? This one hits deep with me because I know how quick I am to condemn myself. This isn't a cavalier attitude about grace. This is gratitude and appreciation beyond of who I am in Jesus Christ. That as I stand here tonight, the Father sees me as his son. And it doesn't change. It cannot change because of the blood of the Lamb. It's applied here. Hallelujah. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. That is my life. There's no other life that I can live. I'm born of God. My mom and I were rejoicing again a couple days back. Oh, honey, I just love to think when I was born a baby, I was born a human. I can't get no more human. I sure can grow up, but I will never change from being a human. How much more so a son of the living God? You can't go back. Some are crazy enough they think they'd want to. But you know what? You're born again. Praise his name. You're born again. Now, a transgressor, a lawbreaker. But the word of God tells us here, brothers and sisters, that we are dead to the law. And praise be to God, we live unto God because we're made his sons. And then the worst of it all is his self-works made Christ, in a sense, the minister of sin. The wicked works of the flesh, it didn't actually do this, but this was the testimony when we yield to the flesh for the acceptance to God. I pray that we really see tonight, without a doubt, our dirty self-righteousness is the most vile thing to God. I pray that we would get over thinking about, oh, I failed in this and I failed in that and the sin reigning. I'm thankful to the Lord. It's a serious thing. But God will deliver you from that. He will. He will. He's faithful and true. He really is. Brothers and sisters, I want us to be mindful of this right here. Because this was getting the likes of a Peter and a Barnabas. These are men of faith. These are men that pursued the Lord. These are men that had hearts for God. And we can get taken up in this. There's a burden on my heart for the people of God. And especially for those that are running to win Christ. We need to lay it aside. God help us to truly apprehend the grace of God. See, and I can't leave it tonight thinking about the sadness of the filthy rags being carried around by the sons of God. Because when I see that picture, all I see is the hurt in the Godhead. That's when the Godhead hurts, is when we try somehow, some way to find favor, to make favor with my work to God. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight. I believe we're a restful body, and we should be, as our confidence is in Christ alone. Let's stand and be dismissed.